We're starting this morning on the programme talking about our president, Michael D. Higgins. Crossed line in housing policy attack, say furious ministers, is the headline in the Irish Independent this morning. These were after comments he made at the opening of a housing development by Kildare County Council focused on young people who were homeless. In a moment, we'll get a view on where the situation is and where things are at with our president and his role and whether he did, in fact, cross the line. Here's an excerpt of what he said in his 16-minute speech yesterday to people attending the opening of the housing development.
I have taken, as Walter, to speaking ever more frankly in relation to housing, because I think it is a great, great, great failure. It isn't a crisis anymore. It is a disaster. And I think that we have to really think about meeting the basic needs of people in a republic, be about food and shelter and education. We just really, when I think of people, I said that I knew John Craddock and I knew many more from the engineering faculty in Cork. They're people who built homes, and building homes is what is important. It is not to be a star performer for the speculative sector internationally or anything else. You walk through our cities, and within 200 yards, using the old measurements, you see so many derelict buildings, so many abandoned buildings. When you look at half-emptied villages, when you look at villages and towns from which the banks have fled because they've taken their profits and now operate differently, why can't we, in fact, achieve the kind of event results that we are celebrating here today? The outlook is getting darker in relation to the middle parts of our population. I feel that I, as president, have to speak very directly about this. Housing and the basic needs of society should never have been left to the marketplace. It is the mad speculative money that is destroying our country, which we are welcoming, which we shouldn't be. The fact of the matter is, let's house our people, let's educate our people, let's show that no one is going hungry. Let's show that there is no one excluded from any part of our society. That's what we should be celebrating 100 years on from the time we got the opportunity to be an independent people. All the county managers and the directors of services all over the country, have a good long look at what is happening in Wicklow and Kildare, and ask themselves the question before their next monthly meeting, why aren't we doing something similar? What is stopping us? I spend a great deal of my time, for example, meeting people who are celebrating Ireland's membership of the Security Council, membership of the Council of Europe. But then I have to go over to Galway, where John Craddock and I are from, to address yet again something that is there as bad as it was 50 years ago, a halting site for travelling people next to the rubbish dump out the Caroline as you head to Headford. And that's something that shouldn't be. For 50 years it's like that. And all of the time it's very difficult. It isn't difficult. It is immoral, wrong, irresponsible to leave people in the conditions we have left some of our travelling people. And if we are to be the Republic of 100 years on, and we're going to celebrate the foundation of the state and all of the institutions, let's do something wonderful with it all and say we're going to be an inclusive society for people of all circumstances.
Yeah, there you go. That's a little bit of what President Michael D. Higgins had to say yesterday at the opening of that housing development in Kildare. Strong words. Has to speak frankly, feels he needs to speak stronger in relation to this. All comments by Michael D. Higgins yesterday in relation to that. If you have a view on whether or not he crossed the line, as is being quoted by unnamed senior coalition sources in the newspapers this morning, then do get in touch. With me on the line to talk about this is Dr. Owen O'Malley of Dublin City University, Associate Professor and Senior Lecturer in Old Money and Political Science at the School of Law and Government, Dublin City University. Owen, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme this morning. Now, you were commenting on this on Twitter yesterday about what the President had to say, and I suppose the language he was using, and whether he did overstep the mark or not. I mean, immoral, disaster, not a crisis anymore, now a disaster. Did the President stray offside to your view?
Yeah, I suppose there are two things that the president did. I mean, one, you can think about whether he's right or not, and lots of people would agree, probably right, in that there, it is a great, great, great failure as and a disaster, as he said. The other thing is whether it's appropriate for the president to be using such strong language in what's effectively criticising government policy. And it's clear that he actually did kind of overstep the mark. His job isn't to do that. It is to he doesn't want to be somebody who just speaks in platitudes. He's a kind of an experienced politician, but he does have to recognise that the role of the president is not to comment on government policy. And if it was, we'd have a very different type of president. Now, he's been pushing things for the last, over 10 years now. He's been pushing things further and further and becoming more and more vocal about things. And yesterday, it seemed that he didn't even bother trying to moderate his language or even to kind of... Usually they kind of hint at things that are problems, whereas there, you know, he kind of talked about, you know, leaving things to the marketplace and that was inappropriate. He talked directly about government policy, saying that it was inappropriate and effectively looking for it to change. So that's creating a presidency that is a much more political role. And then, I mean, if I were the Taoiseach when I meet the president once a month or so, would I be willing to kind of talk openly to him about my policy? If he's a sort of competitor, then I probably would think I shouldn't. And while people might kind of welcome what he said because they agree with what he said, who's to say that somebody else comes along in a couple of years' time and you don't agree with what they're saying, and then people will kind of go, oh my God, I can't believe we have a president who's willing to say these things and that it's completely inappropriate.
Was he playing to the gallery here to an extent, knowing that his comments would be popularly received by the population, if not senior government figures?
I mean, I don't think he's necessary. I mean, he doesn't need to play to the gallery. He doesn't need. He's not looking for popularity. I think he genuinely. These are genuinely held beliefs that he has. But why? You know, he had a long career in normal politics, which he could and did make these points. But he, in 2011, he became the president, and that required him to change his behavior. And to some extent, he did. But more recently, he's not bothering to even try to moderate his behavior.
The presidency is a strictly defined role. I mean, he can accept the resignation of a Taoiseach. He can refer a bill to the Supreme Court through his counsel, to whether it's constitutional or not. He can refuse to sign something. But the question is, here he was getting involved in the work of the executive and the government and straying into policy, controversial policy.
Yeah, he was commenting directly on government policy. And now, I mean, obviously, it's difficult to be a president. And I mean, one of the things our president is required to do is kind of to speak on behalf of the nation. And if he feels that the nation needs to have something said, he may feel that it's his duty to speak on behalf of the people. But when that gets that close to government policy and speaking directly about government policy, then he probably has overstepped a line. All right.
Is there any, looking at this politically, it all comes down to politics in this arena, and I can imagine what's going to happen today as soon as the Dáil gets underway at 12 noon, is opposition politicians are going to seize on this and going to use it as a stick with which to beat the government over the head with.
Well, exactly, and that's probably something that Michael D should kind of think about and consider. You know, can it be used to hammer what's essentially kind of his government? And so, I mean, the politics of it is that the government can't really do anything. They know that, you know, Michael D is very popular. They know that what he said is probably quite popular, and so the government isn't going to be able to do anything about it. It's kind of long ceased, I think, stopped trying to kind of influence what Michael D says.
Plus, the reality is he's far too popular. If you look at down to naked real politics, if they start giving out to him over something like this, then they'll get it back twice from the public, I'd imagine. Given the move,
So they're not going to do anything because there isn't much that they can do with him. I mean, I think they'll just try and avoid him and not kind of speak too frankly about him at all. But I'm sure they're getting increasingly annoyed with the sort of language that's coming out of Áras an Uachtaráin.
The Constitution sets out the duties of president. It doesn't state anywhere specifically, like in terms of a strict rule, that he must remain politically neutral or non-controversial. But is it the issue that there's a precedent here stretching back decades that presidents don't stray into these sort of waters?
Yeah, there's it's long held that, you know, speeches are meant to be approved by the government. I don't think this certainly didn't receive government approval. Now, they probably don't send everything that Michael D says into government buildings for approval. But in theory, he is meant to run what he says by the government. And because of that, it is long assumed that there's a convention that the Taoiseach will not be critical of the government or of government policy, because essentially, you know, he has an important role, but it is a kind of figurehead. There's a kind of a guardian of the constitution role, but it's not meant to be politically competitive with the government.
Yeah, look, part of the issue here, Owen, is that I found myself agreeing with some of what he said, particularly in relation to local authorities. I suppose what has been, this has been, and he did say this is our great, great, great failure. There has been a failure. We had the Taoiseach last week talking about at Cabinet knocking heads together with the Land Development Agency to try and use state lands in a more timely fashion. And that does come down to local authorities and local agencies. There has been a clear failure there. Do you think that's why his message has been so well, or possibly will be so well received, that people are frustrated with the seeming inertia? And I'm not saying that it isn't difficult, even though Michael D himself said yesterday, I was told 50 years ago things were too difficult to do. They're not difficult. They have to be done.
No, you can see that things, you know, when things have to be done, they can be done. And very often it's the person who's put in charge is able to make these things done. And so when you see derelict houses around towns and cities around the country, people kind of rightly get annoyed because somebody's sitting on them and nobody seems to be doing anything about it. And these could be converted into homes quite easily. And so it would be... But he might, I mean, and you can see that local authorities in some parts of the country are able to deal with that and not in other parts of the country. And there is a failure in government policy, presumably when, you know, we've got HAP payments that are pumping up. We have the rents are being pumped up, inflated by taxpayers' money, which they shouldn't be. We can see that, you know, local authorities aren't to blame when it comes to second homes. You know, probably down in Kerry in some of the kind of the most beautiful parts of the country, you're seeing a lot of empty homes, and then local people aren't able to...
They're priced out of the market by holiday homeowners, effectively. Yeah.
And so, I mean, again, there isn't appropriate... We probably need higher taxes on second homes, which, you know, that's a failure of government. So there are lots of failures. I would disagree with him in saying he said we've left everything to the marketplace. I'd say we haven't, in fact, because, you know, the market is highly regulated. It's very hard for people to build places. It's pretty slow to get planning permission. But I think he's probably blaming the wrong people. But he's right in that there are huge failures in government, and we can see that people are kind of saying it's too hard to do, it's very slow. But, you know, when you do see emergencies like, say, COVID, we managed to push things and get things moving when probably the right people are in charge. And, you know, as much as I disliked Tony Holohan, one thing he was good at was actually getting people who were saying, oh, we can't do that, to actually do things.
Yeah.
And maybe put him in charge of housing.
Maybe that might be the way. One of the issues, again, people would say a failure to have a proper property tax system. which unpopular with many opposition parties who are criticising the government.
Yeah, and so, I mean, property taxes can help. The one thing they do is they moderate the price of houses. They tend, because people tend to kind of price those property taxes in. It also helps to fund local authority services that, you know, lots of people are complaining about. And so if we had a good property tax, a lot of the things like the public spaces in our towns, villages and cities might be more money for local authorities to improve them as well.
Okay, Owen, finally, could it be argued that the President wasn't exactly explicitly criticising this particular government, but that he was criticising maybe decades of failure in this area?
And that's, I'm sure, is what he will say. Of course, he was in government himself 3 decades ago, so he might be blaming himself as well. But I think when he was kind of talking about the speculative sector and investor funds, he was probably talking about governments from 2011.
Yeah, the last 10 years effectively after the crash, when they were invited in, when there was no money coming into the country, they were given special rates to come in to get things going effectively.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think it was probably appropriate in 2011 that we were inviting money to come in, because we had hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of builders who were unemployed or emigrating, and we needed to get something done about that. And so those were appropriate. Now, some of those tax breaks are probably unfair now and are probably inappropriate to have to keep, and they are, to be fair to government, being phased out and being taken out. But, you know, some will say that, you know, build to rent, for instance, are being treated differently to regular landlords, and are being treated differently to regular builders. So maybe we do need to kind of rethink whether these sorts of investment opportunities are just too inviting for international investors.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, listen, look, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for taking time to talk to us and give us your view.
Thanks.
on the debate this morning. It will continue. Lots of people getting in touch with us on the programme on 0667123666. You can text or WhatsApp us with your view on 083 300 3300. Give us your thoughts on that. A good few people getting in touch with us. Jerry Cornan gets in touch and asks, is there anything such as truce anymore? President Michael D. Higgins apparently stepped over to Mark Corden's news media. We all know the housing situation in relation to buying or renting is a disaster and a great, great, great failure. But that can't be said by our president. He should be lauded for saying it. At least some government ministers, senior, super junior and junior, must feel this as well, but they're not willing to say it. Their outrage and concern fade into the monster that is groupthink and lack of individual belief. Party politics, where you're obliged to stay in line and toe the line, has a lot to answer for, says Jerry. On the issue of housing, lots of you have been getting in touch with us about the comments of President Michael D. Higgins. Well, with me on the line, I've got Jerry Young, originally from Tralee, but now in Liverpool, involved in the house building game. Jerry, good morning to you. Thanks for calling us on the programme.
Yeah, good morning, Jerry, and what a great show, mate.
Thanks a million. I appreciate it. Tell me now, what do you think of Michael D. and what he said?
Well, I think, in actual fact, he spoke the voice of the people. Whether he was right or wrong, we can always make an argument for both. But in actual fact, he's only saying what people have been thinking for a long, long time. And I mean, I keep an eye on the Irish market because it's of interest to me. I'd love to be back there one day doing a development. But right now, the way your planning laws are, etc., there's no incentive for any developer to get involved, not just in Tralee, in the whole of Ireland. Who would want to get involved in development when somebody can make a planning application, and he, before he even goes into that process, he knows he's probably going to have to go to an appeal because of the outdated planning laws. They've got to make it more attractive for developers to be confident that they're going to get planning in the first place. When somebody can make an objection, Jerry, why, who hasn't even been adversely affected by my planning application. See, I was making a planning application in the north side of Tralee. Somebody from the south side can object when he's not adversely affected. It's called site of vision. He hasn't even got sight of the planning, of the site I'm making planning for. How can that be right?
You think that's part, a big part of the problem? There's lots of different problems and issues, lots of challenges, but you think planning is a major part of it?
For me, as a developer from the outside, because I'm a developer in Liverpool, I build a lot of social housing. Right now, I'm speaking to you from a development site in Liverpool, where we are building 37 houses, well, apartments and houses, for Liverpool City Council. The planning application took me 13 weeks, and that is including all this, because before you make a planning application, you have to have searches and stuff done with it, and you have to have a ground investigation report, etc., etc. All these things have to be on, and rightly so. But you do them during the pre your 13 weeks. So in actual fact, let's call it 16 weeks from the time I get the site, I should be looking at getting my planning. And then you've got to do the pre-planning conditions. So I'm looking at 4 months and I've got a shovel in the ground.
4 months. That's a lot quicker. That's a lot quicker here. 37 houses, let's say 40 houses, we'll call it yes. Here. You could be in danger of going to Umbor Pinola. At the moment, they're understaffed. It takes a long time. And then the new Bord Pinola now is judicial review. Someone can take you further to the courts to object to it. So you're ending up 6 months, maybe even 9 months, maybe even a year.
Right, taking that into account. Imagine the outlay that the developer's got in the first place. Let's say, I'm just picking a figure here. Yeah. Right? Say he bought the site for £500,000. And then he's got to have to develop the site. And he set aside another £1.5 million for that. That's £2 million. He's probably borrowing at least 50% of that money. So the longer it's laying about, lazy money doesn't make a profit. Everybody that's in development is thinking the money's got to be out there exercising just as much as I am. I want to have my money turning over fast. And that means I've got to make a timescale. Before I even start a development site, I've already anticipated the sale date. In my instance, I have them sold before I start because it's social housing. So I've already got the site sold from the day I've got the planning and ready to go. So if you want to get people involved in development in Ireland and in Tralee, you've got to make the planning laws easy and give the developer confidence he's going to get it in the first place. And you will then attract, because we know the demand is there, and you'll attract people like myself, and not, I'm talking about me from the UK now, well, born in Tralee and proud of it. Sure. You know, very much proud of it. I'm actually getting involved in the Rose of Tralee as we speak now on the thing called Super Sunday going forward. We can talk about it another time, but more now, right now, let's stick with the planning laws and all. We should start. Somebody should have common sense, central government and local government. Central government should be sent to local government. Get your act together. These are your new directives, your new instructions.
Well that's what Michael D was saying yesterday. He said all the county managers, the directors of services at local authorities should have a good, long, hard look at what's going on in Kildare with the development of Jiggastown yesterday and ask, why am I doing it? Why aren't we doing it here and doing it faster?
And that is why I'm really in support of what he said. Maybe, he might be slightly out of line because of what he's
president
done. Yeah, we all know that he's got to tone it down. But if you listen to his voice, my God, did he speak with passion. Yeah. I mean, he was speaking as far as I was concerned. I could listen to his every word. He meant every single word of what he said. Yeah. And he is speaking the voice of the people.
Yeah, he's an excellent orator, that's for sure. That. Let me ask you this, Joe Jury. And we've gone, and we tend to go from pillar to post here with the way we do things in this country. We did have a period in the Celtic Tiger years where it was developer-led planning. It was over-zoning of lands. Now, Our response that was wrong on that side of it.
Then
we swung completely the other way. We dezoned hundreds of thousands of hectares of land, too much land it turns out now, in a reaction to that. We never seem to be able to find the balance because you do need planning rules. Yeah. You can't have carte blanche.
Of course. Constructive planning objections are a necessity. You need them because I've had objections to some of my planning and it actually turned out to my benefit. You know, I mean, I can go into that another time. But, yes, but when you've got somebody can object from the north side of town, from about the south side of town, okay, I mean, unless there's a specific reason, i.e., I'm not a tree hugger myself, but if you had what we call them out here, tag tree, and they've got interest, you can't just knock them down. But, I mean, unless you're adversely affected, you should not be able to object to a planning. And you should ease the planning laws and ease them now. It's an emergency from where I'm stand out. Look at the ridiculous rents that are being charged. Where's it? I mean, the knock-on effect on that is who's going to want to go to the country thinking, right, the job. I mean, the pay in Ireland, as far as I'm concerned, especially in the constructing industry, I'm looking at from what I pay over here, I think is, you know, very, very good. You're really paying yourselves good money.
Yeah.
You have to do that because the rents are so high and the knock-on effect.
Yeah, the cost of building gets fed into that,
exactly,
to the wages to pay. And we have a shortage at the moment because, huge shortage of labour.
Jerry, you're bang on. So we're all in agreement. Well, get the objectors as well. Get them all round the table. And let's sit down and iron this out for the benefit of the whole country.
Okay, look.
And we'll all be better off.
That's a fair point, Jerry. Listen, I know you're a big listener to Radio Kerry. You listen to Kerry's For Breakfast with Andrew
Lane.
You're
on the site right now.
Yeah.
Andrew
and Lane. And you listen to Francis Jones, even though he's a Leeds supporter.
Yeah, he's Leeds. I'm West Ham. Oh. And you beat us. I owe Jerry €300 for beating us at that when I give it the big into him. So, well, I'll be over in Chile tomorrow, so I'll pop in on Friday or something.
Do very good. Well, Jerry, listen, thanks for your views. Good luck with the rest of the build on the site over there in Liverpool. And hello to everyone who's listening to us. And thanks for contributing to the debate here.
You're no problem, Jerry. And as I say, mate, fantastic show. Keep up the good work. And hello to everybody in Trillion. I'll see you all tomorrow.
Brilliant.
All right.
Great stuff. Thanks a million. There you go. That is Jerry Young there on the line from Liverpool. A developer, what his view says, the planning objection system is all wrong here. Too long to get your planning. Needs to be overhauled if you're to deliver social housing and other housing in a faster way and in a more urgent way that we clearly do need it. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show. A listener gets in touch, says, what if there is a development on a historic site, for example, where no one lives in the vicinity? A person may not be directly affected in that sense. Development is overlooking their property, but it would be a travesty if the historic site was to be used for a housing or industrial development. Well, I suppose, look, he did address that point when he did say, look, constructive planning objections are, you know, can be worthwhile and can help the overall developer even in relation. But the way things are at the moment, when anybody from any area can object, the length of time it takes to go through the process, the length of time on a board panel, then it goes to judicial, can go and often does now to a judicial review, which tacks on months onto the process. It just puts it all in the morass and it destroys the urgency that is needed when it comes to developing housing. I mean, we tried even these strategic infrastructure projects, but they're going into the quicksand as well at the moment with judicial reviews. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show, 066 712 3666. Lots more to get to on Kerry today after we take these.